since September, I've been challenging you, how many of you want to have miracles happen in your life? Do you remember that? You cannot not remember because we do it every week. And I've asked, do you want God to use you for a miraculous this or that? And we're going to get into that today. But since September, I've been to a conference, and our staff has been to a conference over three different times that we are now bringing to The Rock May 7th to 10th, and it is on this card. We are going to have it during the day at our East County site. We have 380 seats left. That's it for the day sessions. The night sessions will be here, and they will be free. I went to this conference, I can't remember, end of last year, the beginning of this year. It was unbelievably supernatural. I saw hundreds of people get healed right in front of my eyes. Saw the Holy Spirit do stuff I had never seen. Experienced the Holy Spirit like I had never experienced. And we have since learned a lot and taught all of our volunteer leaders, our staff, to pray for people for healing. We've seen people get healed. We've seen demons cast out of people right in this room, in all our campuses, on the street. So I want to encourage you, if you can come, take this card and register today online. We only have 380 seats left for the day sessions, and then the night sessions are free. You will see stuff and God will rock your world. This conference has a lot to do with where we're going as a church and what we've learned. And there are a lot of conferences out there, and we're going to go search wide and hard for more, but this is the one that God has brought to us. Randy Clark has been doing this for a long time, and he's a very powerful man of God. I met him. I've talked to him. He's a humble guy, loves the Word of God. He's going to teach on the history of why there are some churches and denominations who don't believe in miracles anymore. He's going to teach about why that is, and it's not biblical. So he's going to teach church history like you ain't never heard it. And then he's going to, miracles, you're going to see miracles. So wave the card up in the air. Let's see it. Wave it like you just don't care. And so I want to challenge y'all. How many of y'all interested can come during the day, May 7th to 10th? How many of y'all, raise your hand if you think you can come. Raise your hand real high. Wave it if you can. Wave it. How many of y'all were interested in coming at night? Can you come at night? Very good, very good. So go register. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's get on our knees and do what we do. Let's get on our knees. Okay, I think it was September or October. I asked you, we were in this position, in this room, and all our campuses, and I said, how many of y'all would be open and want God to use you for something supernatural more than what you have, and you raise your hand? How many of y'all are still there, on board with that? Okay, Lord Jesus, we are asking you for everything you have for us. We don't just want to come to church. We don't just want to know information. We want to know the person of Christ, and we want him to be incarnate in our life, and we want him to flow through us and work through us like he did when he was walking on earth. So we ask you and we pray that you would honor your word in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall on us a fresh, powerful way today. In the nome of Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay. Let's see the Bible say word. One more time, Rock Church, say word. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In 1982, I was drafted to the Los Angeles Rams out of a Division III college. It was absolutely one of the most exciting days of my life. And when I got drafted and ended up flying to California, first time flying to California, second time on a plane in my life. I was so excited, and because we were in Little New Haven, Connecticut, I had to take four planes to get here. It was so exciting coming to L.A., first time, wanted to see the palm trees, all the brown people trying to get brown. And I had an expectation that I was going to experience everything the NFL had to offer. Everyone say expectation. It was going to be parties. We're going to hang out. We're going to play in the stadiums. We're going to do, be on TV, autographs. All that the NFL had to offer, I had an expectation that I was going to experience, and I wanted that expectation fulfilled. Everyone say expectation. I wonder how many of you, when you got saved, you had an expectation that you were going to live exactly like Jesus lived. I want you to think about that for a minute. When you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I give my life to you, and some of you may still have to do that, we'll give you the opportunity today, but you said, Lord, I'm just no good. I want to surrender my life to you. Will you take over my life? Everyone say, take over. Well, I want you to take over my life. What was your expectation that he would do? What is your expectation to think, or what do you think his expectation in your life was? Was it to do everything he did? In other words, did you have an expectation that you would heal the blind like him? Why not? Did you have an expectation that you would heal the mute like him? Did you have an expectation that you would heal the deaf like him? Cast out demons like him? Raise dead people like him? Now, I'm sure some of you said, well, that just Jesus, that's not me. Well, I'm going to propose to you that when Jesus was doing all that, he was doing all that as a man that humbled himself to the point of being a man, having started as God, and said, I'm going to leave my deity. I'm going to humble myself to the point of being a man, Philippians chapter 2, take on the form of a man, and I'm going to live as a man submitted to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to show you what can be done. When we started this series, we had a survey about what y'all believe about miracles and the Holy Spirit and baptism and the Holy Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And one of the questions was, did Jesus do his miracles as God, or did he do his miracles as someone who was all man, trusting in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that you and I have? And I'm going to propose to you that he did it as a man, trusting and being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit for many reasons, one of which to show you how you were originally intended to live. That he was the second Adam. That he was saying, here's what Adam was supposed to do. I'm going to show you what you have, the ability you have, and the expectation you should have in your life. So I go back to my original question. Is that your expectation? I remember 15 years ago or so, maybe 18 years ago, we were going to do a crusade, one of our youth crusades that we used to do. And I met a couple. They were in their mid-50s, and they had just told me they did a 40-day fast. And I'm like, man, y'all are old. I'm saying this in my head. Y'all are so old. Y'all did a 40-day. Yeah, funny to think mid-50s. I'm like thinking the guy's almost dead, and now here I am in the mid-50s. So, by the way, the 50s are the new 20s, just so y'all know. Can I get an amen? In the 20s, y'all still got diapers on, so just chill. Mad, mommy, okay? But he said, we just did a 40-day fast, and I just think a 40-day fast, only Jesus could do that. Hey, I've done two or three since then. And so today I want you to think about, do you really expect to live like Christ and do all the things Christ did, that he did when he was trusting in the Holy Spirit? And if you don't, why not? Why would you dumb yourself down and say, I'm just a guy going to church every other week, not tithing, not serving, I have no power in my life, I'm barely able to not curse, I'm barely able to not yell at my wife, beat my wife, get drunk, watch pornography, and yet you call yourself a Christian? And you wonder why non-Christians don't want to be Christians, because there's no difference. And so my challenge to you is, what is your expectation? I'm going to say your expectation should be to live just like what you see in the Bible. Because if Jesus said, I want you to do what I do, which we're going to read in a minute, I want you to do what I do, but he did it as God, he was misleading you, us. He was tricking us. He's like, I want you to do this, but I know you can't do it because I'm God. No, he was saying, I want you to do this because you can. You just have to believe. And by the way, if you just go outside of the country, go to where people are poor. The Bible says God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith, because the more stuff you have, the more it clouds your perception, because you get distracted with all the stuff. But when you have nothing and you got to call it to God, all of a sudden you see miracles in your life. You go to different countries where they are poor, and not always just the poor countries, but you go to different countries where they don't have what you have, and you wonder why there's incredible, miraculous things. People raising people from the dead. Yes. Yes. People raising people from the dead. We had a lady right here in this building 2 or 3 weeks ago trying to bite people, demonic, demons cast out. Next week she comes down to the altar saying, I just want prayer. Why? The demon came out of her. I don't doubt me, there's demons in some of y'all in me right now. Why? The demons are very slicker. They will be in the background because they don't want you to know they're there. They just have you in bondage. That's why some of y'all cannot stop watching pornography. Is that a spiritual thing in addition to an emotional thing? Yes. Why you? Some of you are so angry all the time. You have a spirit that's tormenting you. And because you think, well, spirits aren't in me, you'll never pray against it. Therefore, he ain't going anywhere. He'll just get you to try harder. Trying harder is not going to get a demon out of your life. And so you got to be spiritually set free. And so my question, what do you expect? Now, before we get into this, I'm going to tell you, I've been criticized in this series saying, oh, Miles is just, and people actually said this to me, you're just after signs and wonders. I was like, well, if God wants me to have them, I'm after them. Why wouldn't you want to live the full life Christ has for you? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to have the ability to set somebody free from a disease? This whole process started, and I'm going to introduce you to someone in a few weeks. My wife and I got prayed for, and I don't want to spoil the whole story, but so I'll tell you the Reader's Digest version. We ended up praying for a guy who was dying, and he was healed that day, that moment. 2 days later, the doctor said, we can't explain what happened. Of course, because that's not your medicine is physical. Our medicine is spiritual. You're a practicing physician. No offense. He is the great physician. And so you have to understand the great physician, he just kind of helped you with your job. But the point is this. The point is this. That guy who you and me, that guy is alive. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you say, God, you know what? If you can use me to help somebody, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you? The devil doesn't want you to have it, and the devil doesn't want you to believe you can have it. He wants you to think you're just supposed to know some information. The gospel is not information. It's a person. The powerful person of Jesus Christ walking with him, and he is a supernatural person. Jesus put the super in the natural. So when you have Christ, your natural, and not your Afro-natural, your natural body. Some of y'all don't even know that term. How many of you do not know the term natural? How many of you do not know that an Afro is called a natural? Anybody not know that? Y'all are like, I don't want to admit it. I know some of y'all don't know. Acts chapter 2. Look what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It says, Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Let me read again. A man attested to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. So we don't need to argue. I think we all know and believe that Christ did miracles. As a matter of fact, one of the things that everybody knows about Christ, he did miracles. He healed the mute. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He raised more than one person dead. Three that I know about. He walked on water. He spoke to the weather. He did all of that. Okay? He did all that. Say all of that. Do you have an expectation that and or a desire, I want to live like Jesus? Think about it. When I was doing, the first time I was doing a 40-day fast, literally, and I was starting to teach about it, this one guy came to me saying, you're not going to eat for 40 days? I said, well, you know, I'm going to have this drink, water, and I had juice, but that was about it. Were you trying to be like Jesus? I said, yeah. Let's back up. So you trying to be like Jesus? I mean, like with an attitude. And it kind of caught me off guard, because but it was like, you know, quick response. It didn't take long for me to think about the question. I said, yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, I've been trying to be like Jesus since I got saved. Isn't that what being saved is? So if you're trying to be like Jesus, why aren't you trying? What is it that you're trying to be like? Going to meetings every week? You praying for people? You loving your enemies? You praying for people to be healed? Are you trying to not only do the things that you saw him do, but the things he said for you to do? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 5. Oh, by the way, let me say this. As you hear me say this today, you are going to hear a voice in your head and or after you leave, people talking to you that are going to try to talk you out of this being true. I'm going to say it again slow, then I'm going to pause for emphasis. As you hear me say this, you are going to hear voices in your head or people try to convince you that this is not true, that you're not supposed to do what Jesus did. They're going to try to dumb you down, and they're going to try to lower your expectation. Rebuke that in Jesus' name. They will be Christians, mostly, for many reasons. And I'm not going to, you know, I have to get into those reasons. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But you need to just ask yourself, do I want to do what the Bible says? Because if we do what the Bible says, then we will live the victorious life the Bible says we're supposed to have. If we don't, then we won't. You'll be a Sunday-going Christian whose life is not that much different than people who don't know God at all. And you will have this gnawing thing in your heart, there's got to be more, and there is. So we know Jesus did miracles. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. He says, Matthew 10, 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded, he just named the disciples. He said, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor to enter the city of Samaritans. He's just telling them that at that time, not forever. But then it says in verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everyone say kingdom of heaven. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know that? When the power of God, the health of God, the holiness of God that's in heaven is seen on earth. And God made you and I as the tool for that. Amen. What did Jesus say when he said to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They said, how do we pray, Father, Jesus? He said, this is the first thing you say. God, your will be done. Okay? And let me say this before I... We live in a Burger King society. Have it your way. Everything's got to be my way, my time. And if God doesn't do it my way, he's a fraud. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is Home Depot. You can do it and we can help. But it's going to take time. So you need to be patient. So in other words, when you say, oh God, you know, heal this, do this, do this, and God doesn't jump when you say, remember, it's not Burger King. It's Home Depot. You got to buy the stuff. You got to go to practice. You got to get the right tool. It's going to take time. You don't just get the orange smock the day one. You got to work it out. Okay. So it says in verse 6, it says, go rather to the sheep of Israel and go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Everyone say heal the sick. Cleanse lepers. Say cleanse lepers. Raise the dead, say raise dead. Do you have any idea how much faith it takes to actually pray for a dead person to be raised? I have yet to do that. I don't know if I'll have that opportunity, but that takes a lot of faith to even just to try it. To pray for someone in a wheelchair, to pray for someone who's blind. And what the devil will say, don't do it, it's not going to work, and you never end up doing it, therefore it never happens, therefore you're convinced it never happens. But you never tried. So when he's saying, go heal the sick, it says, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. What Jesus is saying is, look, you guys have been watching me do this, now I am commissioning you to go do it. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. By the way, the disciples went out, they healed, they cast out demons, they did all this stuff, and we're going to get to that in a minute. They actually did everything. Here's another example of that. It says, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was there to ask alms from those who entered the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. He wanted money. He was saying, you know, help a brother out. I'm down on my luck. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And so the man gave him his attention, expecting to receive some cash. He had an expectation for money. He got something better. Peter said, yo, bruh, I don't have any money. He said, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In other words, what I have received, which is life. I have life. I have life. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I have the Spirit of God in me, and I have health in me, and I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received scrumph. Now, strength, this is strength. Scrumph is strength from God. Everyone say scrumph. That's right. Brother Street, scrumph. And he says he leaped up, stood and walked, entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, praising God. By the way, anytime you do a miracle or anytime you ask for a miracle, it is never for your glory. It's not about you. It's always about him. It's always in his time. It's always at his leading and his command. It's all about him. Can I get amen? Let's be clear. This is not, hey, I want to do miracles because I want to be somebody. No. Therefore, you will never get, you're probably not going to be used. It's about him. It's about setting people free. It's about setting people free. Turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm sorry, go to John 14. Man, I gotta go back to the beginning. No, you're right there. You're right there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You're really close. If it frustrates you that you can't find stuff, learn where it's at. Don't get mad at me. Let's go to Deuteronomy. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. We're going to read the red letters, and the red letters are traditionally what Jesus said, but understand Jesus is the whole Word of God, so he's also the black letters too. Just a joke. Verse 12. It says, Jesus talking. It says, most assuredly I say to you, Matthew 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, John 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and even greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. I have read this and taught us this on this as recently as last year, choking on my words. Because I wasn't living that and didn't know how. Don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit has been working in this church since day one, 2000. There's no doubt about it. God says the things I did, you will do. And I was doing some of it. He's telling you this. Most assuredly, I tell you the things I did, you will do. Do you have that expectation? Imagine if you got up every day saying, God, I want to see you do that. I want you to do in my life what you did. Imagine if you just ask God that every day. You pray for that every day. And you lived with the expectation, God, where's the opportunity? And he went, boom. And you said, okay. And you said, I'm going to go, God. You guide me. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. And bam, nothing happened. You prayed. Nothing happened. And the devil's going to say, see, he lied. No, you're just a baby. Try again. And you keep trying. And you keep practicing. Practice? Yes. You practice being a Christian. You know the Bible says that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? You know what work out means? It doesn't mean work to get. It means work to make strong. When you go to the gym, for all y'all who go to the gym, and especially if you haven't been a long time, you're sore in all these places you didn't know you had a muscle. And your body didn't know you had a muscle there because you weren't using it. But you work it out and you make it strong. And next thing you know, after week, after week, after week, you can do more and more and more. That's the same thing with salvation. You get saved. You start to learn what the Bible says. You start to live what the Bible says. And then you start to live with more confidence and more power. And all of a sudden, more things start happening to you. It's the same thing on a spiritual level. So look what he says in verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and even greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let me be clarify. Asking something in Jesus' name does not mean you just say in Jesus' name and you get it. Dear Lord, you know, I want that girl right there. Yeah, I want that girl right there. I want that car in Jesus' name. Yo, what's up, girl? God, I just claimed you in Jesus' name. I knew a guy who went up to a girl and said, God told me you're going to marry me and da-da-da-da-da-da. And she was like, please. In Jesus' name means, these are my words, if God wants you to have it. You do not want what God does not want you to have. Amen? Ladies, you remember that guy? Oh, my goodness, he was so fine. Oh, my goodness. I can't stop thinking about that brother. And then you date him. How many of y'all ever dated someone that you broke up and couldn't believe you dated them? Right? You want to shoot the brother. Day one, you love him. Day 60, you want to shoot him. Next time you say in Jesus' name, you want to think of, oh my goodness, he's so fine. You want to think about that. Lord, I only want the girl or the guy or the job or the house or the responsibility that you want me to have. I don't want anything you don't want me to have. So Lord, I'm going to pray for this person in Jesus' name. And whatever you decide to do, that is up to you. Because there may be issues going on in that person's life why they're not going to get healed, why they're not going to get saved. I witnessed to hundreds of people, thousands of people who just said, I don't want Jesus right now. Okay. That's not on me. That's on them. As long as all I got to do and control is what I can control. Amen? Jesus said, if you ask in my name and I want it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now turn to Luke chapter 10. Right before where you're at. I found it. Oh my gosh. It wasn't that hard. He sent the disciples out to go heal, raise the dead, cast out demons. And it says in verse 17, they returned. The 70 returned. And this is not only his 12, but the extended group of disciples. The 70 returned with joy. Verse 17, Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And they were talking about, look at all this power we have, look at all we did. And Jesus said, okay, slow down. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I give you authority to trample serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. Yes, you have authority over all demonic forces, which, by the way, you need to know you have that authority. The devil doesn't want you to know you have that authority. He wants you to think you're weak. He wants you to think your prayers are weak. It doesn't do any good, so you just have to try hard. No, you have authority from heaven because Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And if you are in Christ, you are at the right hand of the Father. You have authority. And he wants you to understand how to use it. By the way, that's what the conference is about, is helping you understand that. But then he says this. Verse 20, nevertheless, everyone say nevertheless. Yes. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You don't want to lose sight that the most important thing and the very first thing you need to do is make sure you are going to heaven, that you are a child of God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty of sin is death. You want to make sure that Christ has forgiven you of your sin and cleansed you of your sin. In a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to not only give your life to Christ, but there are some of you out there to say, I have an expectation that God wants to do more in my life than I have now. And I want to pray to God, my wife and I, my son, my family, my health. I want to pray to God with an expectation that he is going to do everything in my life that the Bible says I'm supposed to have. If you want to be saved, that God is really going to forgive you. Pray to God as though he's really going to forgive you, that he's really going to love you, that he's really going to transform your life, that he's really going to give you purpose and clarity for your life, and the supernatural power will come, and it will work when it's time at the right moment, but that you're really going to have a living, loving, powerful relationship with the living God. And it's not going to be you going through the Christian motion that you can only think about in your head. That you have that full expectation. And so my encouragement to you, especially as we go for these next couple of months, that you would say, Lord, I want it all. Because there are so many of you that are living a defeated life. You call yourself Christian. You go to Bible study, maybe so, maybe not. You come to church every other week, maybe so, maybe not. But you don't have anything powerful in your life. You're just... it's a job to you. I got to read my Bible. I got to go to church. And God says, are you kidding me? When I met my wife, it was at a party, and I asked her to dance. She said no. Then I was persistent. She said yes. And I asked her for a phone number, and she said no. And I said, well, how am I going to see you again? She says, you'll figure it out. I was like, what? Oh, okay. It's going to be like that? I'm going to find you. I am going to find. And I went to the registrar because we went to the same school. I went to the registrar, looked in the records, had someone who worked behind, you know, I knew people who knew people. Can you find this girl where her class is? And they said, right here. And boom, 3 days later, I was there. She's my woman right now, right there. You want God? Come get him. You're going to sit back and just do nothing and just expect it to happen? Paul says, I press on that I may apprehend what Christ has apprehended from me. I'm not looking behind him. I'm not looking that way. I'm looking this way. I am going to pursue him. Lord, I want everything. I want you to want everything. I don't want you to play church. There are people in your life who can have their lives transformed if you let God do what he wants to do through you. If you let God do what you were designed to do, their lives will be transformed. They did an experiment with lab rats. And they put these lab rats in water and they let them swim to see how long they would last before they drowned. And these lab rats drowned in 2 minutes, dead. Then they took the same kind of lab rats, obviously not the same ones, and they put them in the water again, and after 1 minute, they took them out and let them rest. And after they got rested, they took those same lab rats that swam for a minute and put them back in the water to see how long they would swim after they were taken out. And remember, originally they lasted 2 minutes and died. Then they took new rats, put them in, swim for a minute, take them out, and then put them back in the water, and they swam for 22 hours. Why? Because they had the expectation that someone was going to come get them. You have to believe that someone's coming to get you. God wants to save you. He wants to transform your life. He really wants to deliver you from whatever's got you down. And he really wants to use you in a powerful life. You have to have that expectation. If you don't have that expectation, you will stop knocking at the door. The Bible says knock and he will answer. It doesn't say knock once. It says knock. And you keep knocking, expecting someone to answer. And don't put a time limit on it. You keep asking until he answers. Don't put a time limit on it. Keep pursuing God. Right now, close your eyes and bow your head. All campuses, all the microsites, close your eyes and bow your head. Lord Jesus, we have an expectation that you are real. That you love us, that you want more for us than what we have. That you want for us what the Bible says. And we spent so much time talking ourselves out of believing what the Bible says. May we now start to talk ourselves into believing what the Bible says. Simply by saying, I believe. I believe. I believe God loves me. I believe he knows who I am. I believe he has a plan for my life. And I believe he wants for me what the Bible says. And I believe he wants to use me for something supernatural, something I can't do. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you are sitting in your seat, you realize, or wherever you are on a microsite, somewhere around San Diego, and you're saying, I know God is real, he's miraculous, and I want him to live in my life, in my heart, and I want him to live the supernatural life that he lived. I want him to live it through me. I want everything God has for me. Everything. And I want an expectation to see it. I want to pursue it. I want to chase it. I want to be hungry for God. I want to thirst for God. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. One prayer, whether you're asking Christ to be your Savior, some of you need to ask him to forgive you of your sin. Some of you just need to surrender. Some of you just need to pursue him. You need to pursue him. In the privacy of your heart, whoever you are, just pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I believe you are real. I believe you are supernatural. I believe you know who I am. I believe you love me. And I believe you want more for my life. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to your plan. I want everything you have for my life. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Fill me with the power of God and the faith of God. I surrender my life to you. Take over my life. Thank you, God. Eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer, what you're saying to God is, God, I am coming to you with an expectation to get everything I have coming to me. Everything you want for me, I want. And I believe that you love me and I believe you want me to have it. Whether it be salvation, whether it be encouragement, whatever it is. That you're surrendering your junk, your addiction, your pain, your anger, your burden, with an expectation that God is going to love you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. When I ask you to stand, you shouldn't have to worry about what anybody to your right, to your left is thinking. I just want you to surrender to God and acknowledge to God that you trust him and you expect a supernatural response in your life. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer for whatever reason, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your faith in God. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Right now, right in this place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.